Thanks, Anne, and welcome again to St Mark's, everyone, this morning. My name's Andrew. I'm the minister here, and it's great to be with you, continuing our series on being the church. And we've been investigating what does Paul say in his letter to the Ephesians about what it means to be the church. And we've seen in the last few weeks that piece by piece, Paul builds a picture of what a church like ours here at St Mark's is actually called to be and what we're called to be like. And in this picture that he's built, the church is actually a lot of a bigger thing and a deeper thing than we might think when we think about the church generally or we look at it from the outside. So we've seen a few pieces that he uses to build this picture. So firstly, we looked at the fact that the church is people who are being in Christ. So the church is people who are united to Jesus and part of God's plan to bring all things in the world, in heaven and on earth, into unity under Jesus. So we have this big calling. And the second week we saw the church is made up of people who are being saved by grace. So people who have been reunited with God through his grace to us so that we can be healed and rescued from the darkness that we find ourselves in. The next week we saw the church is actually about reconciliation. We're people who are being reconciled to each other across the different groups in our world because of our unity in Christ. And so that's a calling that we have for reconciliation. Then we saw the church is about being servants of God. So we're called to be servants of God, showing the world what he's like and being part of God's plan to heal the world. And finally, last week we saw the church is actually called to be together as a group of people who build each other up so that we're spiritually mature. So we all have a task to play in actually making the church be what it's supposed to be. And there's more to learn. As we go on thinking about the church, you can see it just gets bigger and bigger, the things that we're being called to be, until today we reach a point which is probably as high as it can get about what it means to be the church, where Paul says, actually, as a church, we're called to be like God. We're actually called to be like God. That's what it means to be a member of the church. So in verse 24, Paul tells us, put on the new self. He says, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So what does this mean? What does it mean to be like God? That's a big thing to think about. In many ways, I think that this is another way of answering the same question as to what does it mean for us to be truly human? It's the same question. So how do we live in such a way that we fulfill the potential of the nature that God's given us as human beings? So I just want to think about that. I'm a bit of a fan of science fiction and fantasy. I'm not the biggest fan around, certainly. So many people take this a lot further than I do. So, for instance, you know, I know what Gandalf's real name is, but I haven't ever learned to speak Elvish or anything like that. You know, and I've never actually dressed up as a stormtrooper, but I'd feel a bit disappointed if I never got the chance. So, you know, that's kind of where I am on the spectrum. Some of you may be further down there than me. Some are probably a lot further back. And I say this because these kinds of stories are among probably the most popular kinds of stories today. Superhero stories, those sort of things, make the most money at the box office and they get the best ratings on TV. And I think one reason that they're very popular with us is that they help us to explore what does it mean to be human in interesting ways. So these science fiction movies ask the question like, what's the differences between human beings and machines that might be able to think and move? Or what would it mean for human beings to be immortal, you know, or to give up ordinary life to do that, perhaps to become a vampire or something like that? Or what would it mean to have superpowers or being able to do magic or to be able to control reality with our minds? You know, so if we could do these things, would we be more human than we are or would we be less? Yeah. And so our reading today asks these questions as well. What does it mean to be a real human being? What does it mean to be a real human being? And what's the kind of life that actually humans are supposed to have? What kind of creatures are we made to be? And so the answer that Paul gives is actually that we're made to be imitators of God. We're called to be like him. And this is not a science, you know, this is our calling. This is the life that we have to live. It's not a science fiction speculation. It is actually the calling that people have who are followers of Jesus in our ordinary life. And this is an idea that we can find right back in the beginning of the Bible, in the story of the creation in the book of Genesis. And so it says here that God made human beings and put us in the world as representatives of him, different from other parts of creation with a special nature. So in Genesis 1, 26 to 27, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. So it says somehow we're made in sort of the image of God, to be like him. That's the purpose of human beings. And so the story of the Bible, though, is about basically a story of failure to live up to that calling. We haven't done that. And we've rejected the image of God in ourselves and the purpose that we were made for. And so the story is about God getting us back onto that track. And Jesus has been part of that. And the church is a calling to get back onto that path, to be in the image of God. In our reading today, then, Paul talks about two different ways to live, or two different ways to be human. These are related to the idea of being like God, but just some different ideas of what that might mean, or how we be human. And so the first is what he calls the old self. Okay, so this is a particular kind of life, the old self. And the features of this kind of life is that it's a life that rejects the image of God and the spiritual things and the side of what God made us for, and actually is controlled by the desires that we have. It's called the old self. So all of us know we're born and we live, and there's a whole series of drives and desires and passions that we have to engage with life and get the most out of it. And that's the basic human condition, to get what we need to live. And that's a normal thing. But Paul's pointing out that the way we've lived with this is to direct the energies that God has given us in a selfish way, aim to drag things into us, to greedily to have our own needs met in a greedy way. And so we take what we want. We indulge in things too much, and we lose sensitivity to what we're supposed to be and what's really important. And so in verse 19 in particular, he talks about sexual indulgence as a big symbol of this in the way we live. And I think that's an area we can relate to as a society, because this is a big problem for us. There's a very large proportion of our society who are addicted to porn or strongly influenced by its presence in our lives. And there's a sense in which this kind of thing becomes normal as the way people live. And over time, people lose sensitivity to what sex is for, or the way what it's supposed to be about. And so that's a kind of example of this old self, desires being followed with no regard to what they're for. And there are other things that we have. Perhaps we want money or possessions for ourselves to hold on to, or to have power over other people to get us to do what they want, or to be well known, to be famous, or to have everything for ourselves. And so this is desire gone wrong. It's a self that has been constructed. It's not in God's image. And so Paul talks about this life of greed and says this is the way we live, regardless of what it does to us or to the people around us. And it does have an effect on the people around to us, because it affects the way that we behave. And so these are all these bad effects of the old self, he says. This hurtful way of life. Bitterness, rage, anger, brawling and slander, malice, unwholesome talk. If these things come out of this way of living and desires being fulfilled for ourselves. So that's the old self, and that's one way of being human. It takes what we have and makes it a particular way, and to satisfy our own desires. That's one of the ways that we live. And it's also related to a particular view of God, and one that was very common in Paul's society at the time. And you can see that in the superheroes and fantasy literature of the ancient world. And so if you look at the myths of the Greek and Roman gods, they behave this way. And so think about the greatest hero of that time, the legend of Hercules. So this is kind of the blockbuster stories of the day about what it means to be a human. So Hercules, as you might know, was born with great strength and power because he was the son of Zeus, the king of the gods, who had an affair with a human woman. And so Hercules was half man, half god. He was the son of a god. And he grew up to be someone who was, to put it mildly, more ruled by his desires and feelings than was good for him. So Zeus's wife Hera made him go mad, and he murdered his own children. He tried to make up for that by going around and killing a whole lot of monsters and bad guys. And on the way, he had a few more wives. Some of them also died because of what he did. And he had dozens of other children. So he really got around Hercules and did a lot of stuff. And people loved him. He was the superhero of the day, the image of what does it mean to be someone who's like a god. And so the myth of Hercules is what happens when people lose sight of what God is really like. But we sort of still recognise we're called to be like him. But what would that mean? And so the God that we're trying to be like is actually a bad person, someone who fills their own desires and the worst parts of their nature to the highest level and worships that. Now, I was looking for pictures of Hercules. It's very hard to find one where he's not murdering someone or naked. And I thought that might not be good for church. So, you know, this is what he's like. And this is the godlike person of the ancient world. And so we can think about people in our own society, some of our celebrities who have similar images. And so that's the old self that Paul is warning against, this way we learn to live, what it means to be human. So he talks about what is actually the new self and the way that Christians are called to live, which is different. So the new self is a different thing altogether. And Paul says it's like putting on a new set of clothes. You put off the old and you put on the new. I'm not someone who cares a lot about clothes and fashion. You might be able to tell that if you see me around the place. But, you know, even I like getting new clothes. It's a great feeling. You put on something new, you feel new. It's like being a new person. And so this is what the new self is like. It's starting again. And the new self is based on a different idea of what it means to be truly human, because it's based on a different idea of what it means to be like God. Because for Christians, both of those things are now focused on Jesus, who was truly human and truly God. But what he shows us about God and what it means to be in the image of God is different to what we might have learned before. So instead of using our power and our likeness to God to become more powerful and to fulfill our desires, it actually directs them towards the service of the world and other people in a humble way. Because the image of true humanity and true God is actually found in Jesus on the cross. So the picture of Jesus on the cross. So Jesus isn't like Hercules. Jesus didn't kill people to show his power. He actually died to show his love. He died to show his love. And that's what God is really like. So if we're going to be like God, this is the God that we're called to be like. So the new self is one in which the energies of our lives are directed towards the good of other people and to build them up, not ourselves. And that's the way Paul describes this way of life when he goes on in this passage. So instead of manipulating people and getting them to do what we want, we speak the truth. Instead of being fighting people, we're reconciled to them. Instead of looking for our own interests, we do useful work so that we can share with people in need. Building up people by the way we speak to them. Being kind, being compassionate, as our Bible verse, memory verse for the day said. And in chapter 5, verse 1, he summarises this. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us, and he gave himself up for us. So this is the way of life. This is the new self. This is the way that we're called to be. So if we're a Christian, we're called to be like God, and we're called to be like Jesus. And that's a great great aspiration. It can run up with a bit of a problem, though, if you think about these lists of things we're supposed to be. Because I think we live in a legalistic culture, and we're used to thinking of rules and laws about how we should behave. So if someone says, we need to be like God, the first response is, that's impossible. How could I possibly do that? Look at all the things I have to do. If I keep these rules, is it going to be okay? And we try really hard and maybe despair. One of the verses there says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And I can't count the number of times the sun has gone down in my anger and rose on it again and then gone down on it again the next day. If this is a rule to keep, then we're all failing in it in a large majority of the time. So does that mean I'm not a good Christian? I'm not a member of the church, or I'm not being like God? In some sense, yes, but that's not the point. That's not what putting on the new self is about. I'm not trying hard to be better and to do better. So, because again, being like Jesus is about following the way of the cross. And so the cross is important because it shows that the way to get to the new life, the new self, is not by trying harder or being more, but by the old self dying and being put on the cross with Jesus and the new life starting again in God's power. So the process of becoming like God is not about following the rules. It's actually about a change of mind that the Bible calls repentance. This is not something that we think about a lot. We find it hard to grasp what repentance is. But in the Bible, the word repentance literally means to change your mind. Okay, so to repent means to change your mind and to have a new mind about yourself and about the world. So repentance means we reject what the old self is and the things that lead to it and change our mind about them and let them go, release them to God, admit that that's part of who we are and say, I don't want that anymore. I'm going to change, but with God's power. So the old self dies when it's rejected and forgiven and healed. So repentance is about having a new mind about what it means to be human and desiring that, not the old way. This is where it's hard, and this is really the Christian life, letting go of the old self and putting on the new self. It's time, because it actually takes us a long time to realise what we need to repent of and to let it go. Because the things we hold on to in the old self make us feel good or make us feel powerful. And it can be hard sometimes to understand, what do I have to repent of? Because one of the problems is, I think we lack examples of what a normal human being is. And we think that the way that we see people behave around us is what is normal human behaviour. So we think that it's normal to be human in the sense that we try to control other people, or we can't control ourselves, or it's normal to carry around grudges. Well, it's normal for us, but it's not actually normal for the way human beings are supposed to be. And so our mind is changed. We repent when we realise that normal for us should be being like God, and that's what we were being made to be like, and that's the plan. And so if we actually saw a normal human being around us, we might actually find them to be quite strange or even offensive, because they don't behave the way that everyone else did. And we can know that because the most normal human being who ever lived ended up on the cross. And that was Jesus. Jesus actually shows what human beings are supposed to be like, and people killed him for it. So this is the calling, though, that we have, to change our mind about what it means to be human and the way we should be living. Hope you can still hear me. So to be part of the church, to be a Christian, is actually called to repent, to change our mind about what we're so called to be like, to be like God and to be like Jesus. And being like God is not about being like a God. It's not about being a superhero. It's not about being awesomely strong and powerful and wonderful. It's about being humble like Jesus and serving and giving up the old ways and starting again. So it's about the cross. And we only get there by changing our mind about ourselves and what we're supposed to be. So if we want to be human, there are bits of us that are going to have to die, the bits that are less than human and that have turned away from God. And what will live in the new life is what is really human, what's really like God, and what God has made us to be in his image. And so in the end, when God's plan's finished, the church will be an assembly of real human beings who show God's image to the world. And that's the challenge for us as we think about being the church, that starts now with us. So let me pray as we think about that today. We thank you, Lord, that you have made us in your image and called us to reflect your glory to the world. All of us have failed to some extent or more to be human beings, the way you made us to be, and we followed the old ways, the old self, and let it get the upper hand. So we pray that you would change our mind about what we're supposed to be, call us to view Christ and his way as the path of our true humanity, and please build up in us and grow in us the new self through your grace, so that we can be the people that we were made to be. In Jesus' name, amen.